Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Welcome to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. On this podcast, we journey together in learning how to feel healthy, look good, and plan lives we actually like in the midst of all the everyday chaos. I'm so glad you're here. And on today's episode, I have Andrea Nakayama. This was such an interesting episode. We dive into the functional nutrition space, and it's a really interesting way that Andrea developed into this profession. I thought it was a really intriguing conversation, and I hope you all get a lot of it and how we can bring this into our own health journeys and also look at making it more accessible for a lot of people. But before we get there, I also want to mention that things look a little different in the podcast these days. You've probably noticed it's a little bit more sparse than it used to be. There are definitely some new things happening behind the scenes, things that are going to be coming out in the new year with the Live Well Anyway brand. We've just been doing a lot of shifting and reconsidering and redeciding behind the scenes. So just hang on, hang tight. We've got a couple more episodes before the end of the year, and then we'll be letting you know where we are going from here. Also, just one little last plug before we dive into this episode. If you are ever doing your shopping on Amazon, you know, for all of your Christmas presents and all of that good stuff, I would dearly love if you would use my Amazon link. It pushes a little bit of commission my way without costing you a penny more, and all you have to do is go to mackenziecoppa.com/Amazon and then shop for whatever it is you want to shop for. All right, without further ado, let's dive into this episode with Andrea Nakayama. Welcome, Andrea.
Hello, Mackenzie. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you.
I am so excited to have you today. This was one of those episodes. I've been doing a lot more wellness episodes on the podcast, I feel like, and really trying to get into like the root causes of everything, because I think I am now, you know, entering midlife and thinking a lot more about those things. And so I feel like the more information we can get, the better. And so you seemed like a great fit to come on the show. But as we get going, would you just like to introduce yourself to everyone?
Yeah, thank you. So I'm Andrea Nakayama. I'm a functional medicine nutritionist. And we can talk about what functional medicine nutrition is, I'm sure. But what led me into this career was a personal health journey that we may also get into. And I now run a school that I've created for practitioners. I've trained over 8,000 practitioners Wow. in over 68 countries.
Wow.
And I'm both a practitioner of functional medicine, nutrition, and narrative medicine, and a single mom to a 23-year-old who's currently in Asia.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All the things. So many things. Well, there's so many different places that I want to go in this episode, because I think you bring so much to the table. And obviously, I want to talk a lot about functional nutrition and what that means for us and how we can be pursuing that. But I want to go back to the beginning of how you got here to start with. So obviously, you said it's been a very personal journey. There are things that happened in your life that were kind of the catalyst for all of this happening. So would you like to go into a little bit of that story?
Yeah, I absolutely can. So I always had a real passion for food. It sort of became my craft after I graduated from art school and found that like I was working in other industries. I ended up working in book publishing, but working with my hands and making food and living in the Bay Area, shopping at the farmers markets, having elaborate dinner parties really became my art. It became the way that I could feed those that I loved and feed myself and make delightful and delicious things and grow herbs. And then I started to realize some of my own health issues and recognizing that I could feel better or worse based on what I ate. That was just the beginning of my journey. But then my late husband, was diagnosed with a brain tumor when we were just 7 weeks pregnant. So that really came out of nowhere. There was not anything leading up to that, no signs or symptoms. In retrospect, I could see like one or two things, but really nothing major or massive that was leading us there. So we're 7 weeks pregnant. He's all of a sudden diagnosed with a brain tumor. Of course, the prognosis was not good. It was about 6 months that he was given to live. So we do the math. He's not really expected to see our child born. And we decided we were going to look under any rock. We were going to look at everything. So I started doing my research into all the different practices and things we could think about in relation to food and meditation and herbs and acupuncture while he was researching which clinical trials to do and which medications to take. And I would present him with the research and say, is this something you want to pursue? And that really became my first endeavor into thinking, I think of it as my boot camp, into thinking about health and how we support our bodies with food versus just loving the art and the practice of making food. So, long story short, there's a lot in there, but Isamu, my late husband, lived 2.5 years. Again, he was given 6 months to live with his diagnosis, but he lived 2.5 years. He did live to have a good imprint on our son. He died when our son was 19 months old, and that son in Asia is now 23 years old at the time we're recording. So that's a long time ago. But everything I do is because of that time, those learnings, and in my late husband's name and honor in many ways.
Absolutely. That's such an amazing thing to bring out of it. I think you kind of allude on your website, like it maybe took a little bit of time, but then you realized you could bring this to so many more people. You could learn about it in so many more ways. So, would you talk about how that transition happened and it became more of the business and you pursued it as something you were going to do with your life?
Yeah, absolutely. So during that time, we were learning a lot. I was relearning also about the gaps in medicine. So there were pieces that I was learning about where medicine treats everybody with the same diagnosis, the same way, and that when you have a diagnosis, you are basically that diagnosis. So I was learning about those gaps as I was learning about, wait a minute, this is how sugar can feed cancer growth, or this is how I'm not here to address the actual diagnosis. I'm here looking at the terrain or the environment in which the diagnosis and the interventions exist. How can we mitigate the impacts of radiation and chemotherapy? And what is this different role that I'm sitting in versus, oh, I'm a nutritionist and I'm gonna tackle the brain tumor, right? So that all was, and I wasn't a nutritionist at that time. So this is all while I'm working in a different career, but we're sort of shifting our focus and looking at everything in our lives. So after Isamu passed in 2002, several years later, I had a friend who was diagnosed with colon cancer. And at this point, I was known as the friend in my community who brought the healthy, yummy food and was always like able to do incredible things with healthy ingredients. But I realized that I started researching and doing my thing, right? I was looking at what's her diagnosis, how's she going to get through that, what's the treatment, how do I support her? And I kept toying with it, like, do I go there? Do I not go there? Because this was a friend where there were a lot of naturopathic physicians. So I was telling myself, they don't need me, but wait, what can I learn about? Oh, but wait, they don't need me. So this story that a lot of us go through when we're finding our passion and doubting ourselves because it might be different than what we have learned to do our whole lives. And she ultimately came to me and said, look, everybody else is going to take care of the family. I want you to take care of me through my treatment and like cook, make the food and everything for me. So that food piece is what led me to believe a little bit more in myself, to do a little bit more research, and then to say, this is my calling. This is what I want to put myself back through school for. At this point, I'm a single parent working a full-time job, but I put myself back through school, eventually started a practice, and learning that I was doing something different than other people were doing in their practices, and having a lot more success with my health outcomes for my clients, and kind of building upon that slowly but surely. I didn't know I'm going to have a school and sell my business. And like none of that was a 5-year plan. It was really just building upon what I believed in and what I wanted, and going to the next phase and the next phase and the next phase. So I put myself back through years and years of school, amassed different certifications and degrees, but all the while was fulfilling a particular role and filling a particular gap that I didn't see filled anywhere else in healthcare.
And what do you think that is that sets you so far apart in the theories, the practice, the way that you practice? What is that that's so different than what we're seeing in a lot of nutrition?
Yeah, a lot of nutrition and a lot of functional medicine, unfortunately. So I think I realized that what I was doing was aligned with the principles of functional medicine back in the day when it was really about what functional medicine was truly about. And I'll just take a pause and say, if we look at the three primary tenets of a truly functional practice, it's a therapeutic partnership. So recognizing the role of a patient as a partner in their therapeutic care. So it takes two people with their expertise coming together. I am not the god, I am the guide, and every patient needs to be an equal partner and has an expertise that I don't have, which is an expertise in themselves. So therapeutic partnership, looking for the roots. And understanding that roots is a plural, and there's ways that we can really look at that through a nutrition perspective. And then looking for a systems-based approach. So that's based on systems biology, understanding that everything in the body is connected, gut brain, we know now, but like hormones and detoxification and the gut. So systems biology, but also I'm a systems thinker. So I come from a non-medical, non-healthcare background to begin with. And my brain works like an artist and an engineer in understanding how do we really develop the systems that allow us to approach a situation. So those are the foundations of a truly functional practice. And I found alignment there with functional medicine, but it was based on what I was already doing, looking holistically at the whole person. And I think when we use the word holistically today, we think it means the practices versus how we view the person. So we think holistic, essential oils, nutraceuticals, diet, meditation, yes, and how we look at ourselves and how practitioners view us should also be holistic, meaning, Mackenzie, I want to know your story in order to help you. I want to know your relationship with your body, with food, with your life getting up to this point. So, really embracing the totality of the patient. And that just doesn't happen in conventional medicine. And unfortunately, every other kind of healthcare and wellness routine is sort of following suit with our conventional practices. It's a big, curve towards the fix it, quick fix thinking.
And everything being disjointed from everything else
Correct.
in a totally different scenario. But I do a lot of productivity coaching. So I have kind of coined this term of holistic productivity because we can't be productive in one area of our life if all these other areas of our
Correct.
life are out of balance or not working well, I mean, taking it down to if your relationships aren't working well, you're not going to be as productive. If you're not taking care of your body, you're not going to be as productive. Like it really does all join together in this
Absolutely.
holistic way. And we have to think of healthcare the same way. When we boil it down to just that area, there is no piece of us that doesn't affect every other piece of us.
1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. So I think that's the biggest distinction in how I look at health. It's exactly what you're saying in the functional nutrition matrix, which I've created, which is one system for how we collect patient information, has relationships, it has spirituality, it's all on there. So we can really create a map of you to
Yeah.
understand, wait, where do I go now? As opposed to, oh, you have migraines? Here's the solution.
Yeah.
Because the migraines are just a piece, like you're
Yeah.
saying so beautifully, of the holistic puzzle.
Yeah, it's just the evidence that something is going wrong. But what
Exactly.
is it? Now, I read on your website that you don't really focus much on the testing. And it seems like in a lot of functional medicine, like getting everything tested and, finding out all of those markers and all of that is a big piece of that, but it alluded to you like using a lot of questions. So is that that matrix that you're talking about? How do you fully get to those root causes without focusing so much on the testing?
Yeah, I think it's a redefinition of what we think of as the root causes. So I have a
Mm, yeah.
model called Three Roots, Many Branches. With any chronic condition, if we think of the signs, the symptoms, or the diagnosis, those are branches on our tree. They're those expressions that you're talking about. If we look at the roots, and again, any chronic condition, so it's just not getting better with the little things we're trying. It just
Yeah.
keeps persisting. The three roots are always going to be based in the genes, digestion, and inflammation. So one thing is redefining what do we mean by roots. And I think that functional medicine has unfortunately fallen prey to this idea that there is one root. So a lot of people are looking for the root cause, but also that these functional tests are going to tell us what that root is. And I just want to say here, I love testing. One of my expertise is in looking at tests, but we have to use them at the right time and for the right reasons. They are not diagnostic tools and they don't tell us what to do. When we ignore the entire terrain of the person that exists in those three roots and go for one targeted piece without recognizing that imbalance is a clue about what's happening deeper in the soil of those roots, we miss the opportunity for sustainable healing. It's also very costly. It makes functional medicine not accessible to a lot of people. And I believe in the democratization of functional medicine. It's the thinking, not the testing. And when we base it on tests, we don't know what to do because we have a lot of information that tells us a lot of different targeted things and doesn't paint a picture of the soil. So I like testing of the right sort at the right time in the clinical journey. And if we don't have to do testing because we're feeling better, great. We just saved a lot of money that you could spend on your food, a massage, or going to a yoga class.
I love that because I think we have this big issue, I mean, so many big issues in medical care in our country and in the world. But one of the big things is, okay, we've got all these functional doctors now and all these great tests and all these great practices. But unless you are in an elite section of our, society, you're not going to have access to those things. And to a certain extent, even if you lower it down, there's a lot of times where you don't even feel like you have access to the food because of
Exactly.
prices and the way things go through the roof and like all of that. So bringing it down to this level, like that normal people can start to access functional medicine for and functional nutrition for their own health, I think is very encouraging to hear because it is hard to access. You know, like you're going, I that would be great, but reality
Yeah, a lot
says.
of the practices are concierge practices, so they're out of
Yeah.
pocket to begin with. Then
Yep.
you do a bunch of tests, and then you are given a bunch of supplements based on those tests. That's not
Yeah.
truly functional. And then we are put on a diet that's we're given through a handout. And I always like to say, like, dietary change is not a handout. We all have issues
Yeah.
with food of some sort, whether it's our cultural desires around our food, our historical, our body image. There's so many things that we can really honor around people changing how they eat if they have to, and doing it at a pace that's appropriate for them
Yeah.
to learn the skills to shop, to be able to have pleasure out of their food that we're missing when we make dietary change a handout. We
Yeah.
also, I mean, I've just seen the damage that functional practices have done when they subscribe to eating, autoimmune paleo diet or a low oxalate diet or a keto diet or intermittent fasting when the body's not ready for it. So I just want to anchor on the word functional. And the word functional means it functions, which
Yeah.
means it works. And if the diet doesn't work, the body doesn't work, then the modality of healthcare being presented is also not working. And we're bypassing the needs of the individual, which causes a lot of stress, which impacts our productivity. Like
Yeah.
it's like you're saying, it's an entire cycle. So I'd rather bring us into the parasympathetic, the rest and the digest, the nurturing of the body versus the questing for some promised land fix, which, if it existed, we wouldn't see more younger women getting as sick as they're getting and not being able to find resolution. And I just keep seeing the age range of people experiencing chronic health challenges getting lower and lower to our girls. And
Yeah.
now I'm seeing more young men experiencing chronic health challenges than I ever saw
Oh,
before.
wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that the stress in our society has only like skyrocketed, and that's definitely affecting a lot of those things. But coming back to what you said, even about making it about each individual person, the pacing, I think that is such a key thing because, like you're saying, you can be handed a just a prescription of what you're supposed to do. But so many of these diets, it's like, okay, well, revolutionize, do something completely different overnight. And in reality, any sort of longevity change that any of us are trying to put in place in our lives, that's not sustainable. That's not how it works. And so I love that that's a piece of what you're doing is making it sustainable by thinking of that pacing component.
Yeah, it's very hard to teach, I will say.
Yeah.
I train a lot of practitioners, and the hard thing for practitioners today, and a lot of them come from nursing backgrounds or other healthcare backgrounds, some come from health coaching, some from no background at all, but they have a real, passion for doing. We all sit at different places but embrace this way of thinking. But I think the challenge is that I believe we're filling a gap in healthcare, and people want to step into the role of the other provider. And that's not what I'm here. I'm not here to say the doctors are doing it
Yeah.
wrong. I'm saying the doctors can't do it all.
Yeah.
When you go to the doctor and say, I have digestive symptoms, does it have anything to do with my diet? And they say no, that's just because they don't know. It's out of their
Yeah.
scope. They had like
Yes.
17 hours of their
Yeah.
10,000s of hours of medical training in nutrition, and it probably didn't even land. So,
Yeah.
what are we asking of what provider? We don't ask our doctor what toilet paper to buy, what toothpaste to buy.
Yeah.
Why are we asking them about something they don't know? And I think that a lot of patients who are experiencing health challenges and see all the noise online about this solution or this supplement are going to their doctors with these expectations and then feeling angry that their doctor is telling them something different. Go to your doctor for what your doctor does. And
Yes.
Don't ask them something else. But if you can't afford working with a functional nutrition counselor, how do we as patients tune in more deeply to our own selves to be able to answer our own questions about what's right and wrong? That's one of my bigger questions of late.
I love that. And I want to come back to that. But what you're saying is so interesting because I'm hearing it in a lot of different areas recently. I just had somebody on my podcast when this comes out. It will have been a couple of months ago, but she is a divorce financial analyst. I know that sounds very random for what we're talking about, but go with me here. She was saying, like, pay a specialized person to deal with the areas that you need help with instead of going to the most expensive person on your team to deal with all these things that they don't have specialization in. Like if you're paying your lawyer, you're paying the most expensive person to give you not the most succinct information possible. I think it's the same exact thing here. Don't pay your doctor to do this thing that they don't really know about and try to get that out of them. And like you're saying, they get so little nutrition training. I think it's kind of shocking, really, when it should be such a foundational part of medicine. But you have worked with a lot of doctors, from what I have seen. How do you convince them that they need you when they sort of, there is a doctor thing where they feel like they know it all and they need to be the one who is asked the questions. And how do you work with that? How have you been able to build a business working with doctors who like have that kind of, mentality?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question, and it's something that a lot of people get tripped up around. And I know you like the Enneagram, and I'm a personality test lover of all sorts. And I think they give us, a piece of the puzzle of who we are and what we do. And one of the things that I've learned about myself that I think helps me here and will answer your question is I hold prestige for myself and others in very high regard. So I'm not trying to prove myself to them. I'm not trying to show them I know something. This isn't about me. It's about our shared patient. So I always show up honoring their prestige. So the first thing I'm doing is, just like I said to you before I come on your podcast, I listen to your podcast. I know something about you. I know your voice, your tone. I want to know if I'm speaking to a doctor, how do they speak about themselves? What's their passion? And I'm showing up with our common goal, which is to help a patient. So I'm first thanking them. Thanks for your work with Mackenzie on her XYZ. I've been working with her here. Here's what I'm seeing. I'm curious about your thoughts. I was wondering if, what are you thinking about that? I'm really honoring and speaking to the fact that they are running the medical part of the case. That is not my scope, not my job. Like I said, I'm not here to put my hands on my hips and say, I know better. They are doing something very specific. I'm going to honor that. The pieces of the puzzle are in their hands. And so if I can form a partnership, I'm going to be much better off than trying to tell them that I know better. Even if I can see something that they're not seeing, that I know I want to point out, I have to hand it over to their expertise and ask it in a way that honors that expertise and what's in their hand. I am not here to talk about your medical care. I'm here to talk about everything in which your medical situation is manifesting and existing. And so I think it's that distinction and that partnership that allows me to show up and ask and partner in a way that works. And we often lose that in our desire to be right, in our desire to show what we know, in our ego, even though we don't want to admit it. And I just play to their ego, but in a very partnered way.
And so, have you found that doctors actually seek you out at this point? Like,
Totally,
that's
absolutely.
amazing.
Yeah, and they know that I'm going to see something and handle something and hold something that they can't hold, and that we each have a different scope of presence. practice. And again, in speaking to my students, I think maybe because my entry level experience was with such a grave medical diagnosis, I had no illusions that I was going to cure my husband's brain tumor.
Yeah.
The only perspective I had is this brain tumor exists in an environment. This chemotherapy is happening to a body. And so for me, that scope was always really, really clear. And it was recognizing the expansiveness and the limitations of what the medical model can do. I can't do brain surgery.
Yeah.
Great. They cut out most of the brain tumor. Awesome. Now that body needs to heal from surgery, which is an inflammatory action because the body's been cut into. That's a difference in thinking. So I think it's just that understanding, like you were talking about with the financial advisor, Mackenzie, it made me think about people often ask me about like business coaching. Do you do business coaching? Or, you know, where can I find a business coach? And along the way in building my business, I went to specialties. I need to learn to talk on stage. I need to learn to set up funnels. I need to learn whatever it was I was doing. It was like, how do I learn that skill, not the generalization?
Yeah, I love that. I love that there are, it's, I mean, it's the niching down that we hear so much all over everywhere. And I think we used to have more of these general practitioners of a lot of different things. And we're starting to see the value of being super skilled in one area that allows you to pull all those pieces together. And I think that this is a really vital component that so many of us, I mean, I would say everyone needs to have more, pay more attention to and have more access to for this nutritional piece, because we're all eating every day. It's kind of necessary and it has such an impact on our overall health. You have a quote on your website that I'm going to pull over because I love it. It says, "You aren't just what you eat. You are what your body can do with what you eat." And that to me is such like a personalized thing, because yes, we can all eat the same kinds of foods. It's like not having that same prescription for everyone. I love that focus on bioindividuality. So would you just kind of walk us through, like, if you had a patient come in for the first time, you're going to start a protocol with them or figuring it out with them. What does that look like working with you?
Yeah. So the first thing I want to say is I don't work with patients anymore. I have a team that works with patients and I'm writing more for the patient, but I just want to say that because people will be like, where do I, you can work with my team. Okay. So we go through a very detailed intake process and I call it the art of the practice: assess, recommend, track, repeat. So in our assessments, we're going through a very deep understanding of who you are. So we first determine, is this a good fit? Do you really want to work with us? Is this what you're looking for? And it tends to be people who have kind of been there and done that. They've tried a lot of different things and they do have chronic health challenges. The first thing they're going to do is fill out a really lengthy intake form, really lengthy. We then create a timeline based on that intake form. So we're understanding from birth, you know, who are you? What have you experienced health-wise? What else was going on in your life? And then we have a motivational interviewing session. We call it a premier case review part one. But what we're doing is completing more of that timeline to understand Mackenzie from your parents' situation to today. So we're not just addressing what's happening today. We're understanding everything that's gone on there. And in that hour-long motivational interviewing process, if you're coming to me saying you have constipation and I say, when did that first begin? And you're saying, oh, I've always been constipated. I'm going to ask more questions. We're going to find out more, like, when's the first time you realized you were constipated? We want to understand that whole journey through your life, as well as what else was happening in your life at the time symptoms started to express themselves. So what can I learn about you? That's going to help me create your matrix. And your matrix includes three different main areas. I call them the story, the soup, and the skill. So your story is a condensed version of your timeline. And that's showing me what we call the ATMs in functional medicine, the antecedents, the triggers, and the mediators. Your antecedents are your parents' history, your ancestry, how you were born, your birth order, anything you happen to know about your genes or genetic background. Your triggers are the things that happened in your life, whether that's graduate school, number of children, being a single parent, the diagnosis and death of my husband, divorce, death of parents, all of those things, car accidents, food poisoning, those are triggers in our lives. And then our mediators are the things we know that make us feel better and make us feel worse. And that comes up a lot through our counseling. How do we cultivate your understanding of your mediators? The more you know about yourself, the more you're in a risk-reward situation with yourself every day. Oh, I know when I drink coffee, I'm going to have this digestive issue, or I'm going to be a little bit more aggressive. That's me, you know. I'm already enough, and then I'm going to be a little bit too much for people. But I love my coffee. So, like, I'm in that risk-reward conversation, right? So, the more you know about your mediators, the more you're there. That's your story. To me, the story is gold. I want patients cultivating more of their understanding of themselves. And that's where the evolution of my work is going with the introduction of narrative medicine practices. How do I get us looking in instead of looking out and giving away that agency? Our soup are all the signs, symptoms, and diagnoses. It's back to that idea that everything in the body is connected, and we're just kind of mapping it out. And then the skill is sleep and relaxation, exercise and movement, nutrition and hydration, stress and resilience, relationships and networks. What's true for you that I know? How's it going with your kids and your parents and your boyfriend and whatever's going on? How do I have an understanding of that picture at this moment? And that matrix then helps to inform where I'm going to go with our next steps. So that's the assess process. And then the recommendations are going to come from other systems thinking, like I have three tiers, those three roots, and we could talk about tier one because that gives people a place to focus. But tier one is where we're going to go, okay, let's just clear the muddy waters in a way that works for you so we can see more clearly what symptoms persist. And yeah, that's kind of the process that we're going through. That's very individuality, but not a lot of people practice by individuality. Takes time.
Oh, my goodness. That is amazing. Like, just as you're talking about it, I'm like thinking through all the things, like, oh, what would I write down? And oh yeah, there's like all these little things as you start to piece it together that do from birth and whatever, like lead into the issues you end up having throughout your life. I love that process and going into all of that. So that tier one you're talking about, clearing the waters, is that like, are you talking about detox or what does that kind of mean?
Yeah, so I call the tier one the non-negotiables. And the non-negotiables are going to be what we define as the non-negotiable trifecta, which is sleep, poop, and blood sugar balance. And also your non-negotiables that I'm going to learn from you, like what you know works for you. Those become our defined non-negotiables, which relate to those mediators on the matrix. So sleep, poop, and blood sugar balance, when we talk about detox, I just mentioned the three best ways to detox, right? We're going into like, oh, a lot of people are like, what are the detox supplements or what do I need to eliminate from my diet? Sleep, poop, blood sugar balance, you are biologically detoxing. So we want to really explore What's sleep and relaxation like for you? How do we develop some non-negotiables around that for you? What's actually happening during sleep? Really dive in. Poop. How can I gather a food mood poop journal from you for 3 to 5 days? If you can do that, not everybody can collect their food for various reasons. You know, it could be emotional that people have relationships with not doing that. And blood sugar balance is later down the line, but there are three food principles that I put in place that help us to bring foods in instead of just taking foods out when we're setting the stage for that non-negotiable trifecta: sleep, poop, blood sugar balance. If you can't focus on those, it's hard to pass go. You're actually not going to find resolution to your health issues.
Yeah, I think the more we're hearing just from all over the place is how critical all three of those issues are and how we really need to pay attention to them. So you've talked a lot about like your team and the people that you train. I would love to hear more about that because you have a whole school, like you said, you're teaching people how to do what you're doing. You've trained all these people all around the world. What does that look like? How can people get involved with that? What kind of background do they need to have in order to step into that? I would love to hear more.
Yeah, so this was, like I said, not where I was thinking I would be going. And I started the school, I started my practice in 2009, and I started the school in 2012. I tried to start it sooner, but I realized I don't think people are ready for it. So I slowed down a little bit, but I thought it was just going to be a little mentorship program in teaching how I thought about things. And it just had like a, there was a big following right away. And then it's just grown and grown and grown and grown every year. So at the Functional Nutrition Alliance, if you go to fxnutrition.com, you can learn all about the school. We train people from all sorts of backgrounds. Again, we're going to talk about scope. So if I have a doctor in the program who wants to learn about functional nutrition in his or her practice, or I have a lot of nurses or dietitians or nutritionists or health coaches, we've got massage therapists, aesthetician, we've got people from all different backgrounds that are recognizing, wait a minute, mental health backgrounds, there's a component here that I'm missing that's about nutrition, that's about lifestyle, and that's more whole person centered, more patient centered than what I'm getting or learning anywhere else, which is more protocol based. And so the people in the program are very diverse. It's a 10-month training program, and there's lots of information to learn about it and open houses people can join. So that's all at fxnutrition.com. And you can also learn more about our clinic at fxnutrition.com. There will be a link to working with the team that's in my online clinic at the Functional Nutrition Alliance.
That I just think it's so interesting. And I think a lot of people are being drawn to that and wanting to know about it for themselves. But then as they get into it, I think kind of like the experience you had, you're like, wait a minute, like I can share so much with so many people and how can I help people? And so I think that's invaluable. And I love that it's people from so many different areas who are able to step into that.
Yeah, I mean, that's for me such a joy that I can teach the methodologies and people take it into menopause and fertility and IBS and mental health issues and addiction and Lyme disease and, you know, p cancer. And it's so exciting that we all come together for the way of thinking and practicing. And that's the niche for me. Like the niche is how we think about healthcare, and that people then take it off into their areas and put that to practice and have results. And how people come together in our community is just like, it's mind-blowing to me how they support each other, how community is formed, because it can be really isolating to work differently or be able to talk about what we do, and then they have each other. So it's just beautiful. I feel so fortunate in that way.
There's really something when you're connecting with people who are all having the same interest or in the same profession. I know Just another random story for me. But recently
Love
I
stories.
started working with a podcasting company. So I have my own podcast that, I've done for 9 years, but I now work for this podcast company as a production assistant and a producer. And I realized I love the meetings. Like, I know everyone's like, I'd love to get out of a meeting. And I'm like, I love the meetings because people like want my opinion and they're like, you know stuff. And it's so amazing to have those conversations with other people about YouTube thumbnails or whatever random thing it is
Totally.
that people get that they're like looking into the same thing. So I love that community aspect of it. I think it makes such a difference.
And right there, I see some of your non-negotiables, right?
Yeah.
Like, I know Mackenzie likes to be, intellectually stimulated and creative, and like making sure that that exists for you is also part of my job because that's part of your health equation. If you
Oh, I
don't
love
have
that.
that, we start to see where can you get more of that, right? Part of my health equation is dance and dance class. And I used to dance and I gave it up for over a decade. And just recently I was like, I want to go dance again. And now I'm like, any day I can go to a dance class. And even looking at things like my heart rate variability on my Oura ring, which, is just a little clue for me of how I'm doing. But seeing if I do another workout in the evening, that it's not good for my heart rate and my sleep. But if I dance in the evening, it's great for my heart rate and my sleep.
Interesting.
And it's because I'm assuming, but I have joy. Like I come out of the dance class and I have joy. And so it's interesting to think how these different aspects of who we are actually are a component. It's not just what we eat, what we take, being perfect. It's living fully and into ourselves. You lit up so beautifully when you talked about meetings. And it's like, what about those meetings makes you high? I want more of that for you.
I love that. I love that all those little things like feed into nutrition. Like, who would have thought that that is a part of it? So I wish this conversation could go on all day. I want to just like dive in there. But I want to just ask, so if people are, this has intrigued them and they're going, okay, like where do I start? Where do I start even just for myself before I were to contact anyone? What are kind of like the basic ground level things that you can recommend that people can start thinking about or doing for themselves?
Yeah, I'm going to talk about it from a food angle. So I'm a huge fan of tracking. Like I love the idea of what do we know about what we do and how do we start to hone in on what makes us feel better and what makes us feel worse, those mediators, right? But when I think about food, there's three principles that I like to invite people to play with. Principle number one is fat, fiber, protein at every meal. So just play with the idea of what did I eat? Did it have fat fiber? Did my coffee have fat fiber protein? If it's all I ate for breakfast, how can I get it to have fat fiber and protein? And just play with that idea. I could put some collagen in it for protein. I can put some olive, some coconut oil or cacao butter in it. How do I think about where do I get my fat fiber protein from? Right. So that's something to play with, principle number one, because right there we start to look at our sleep, poop, and blood sugar balance with that one principle. Principle number two is to eat the rainbow. And that's just really thinking through what colors did I eat today? And you could pick one of these. Don't do them all at once. Like pick one at a
Pace
time.
yourself.
Pace yourself, play around. If you have kids, this is also super fun, but I love tracking my colors on occasion, just being like, what did I eat today? Okay, I got my raspberries and my blackberries in. I had my matcha green tea. I'm gonna have spinach and red onion. Like, what did I get? What did I didn't get? Where's my orange? Oh, there's some orange mini cherry tomatoes right now. I'm gonna get those. Like, just play and see what colors can you get because A, you're getting more fiber. Because you're crowding in color in exchange of other things. It's kind of amazing how brown our foods can get when we
Yeah.
don't think about it. So
Yeah.
just playing with color, we also get a lot of nutrients in addition to the fiber when we eat more colorfully. There's a lot of phytonutrients that do our body a lot of good. So principle number one, fat, fiber, protein. Go play every meal or snack, fat, fiber, protein. What can you
Okay.
add? Principle number two, eat the rainbow. Principle number three is know your yes, no, maybe list, and you can rank columns. That goes back to our mediators, but like, do you know something that makes you feel great? Do you know something that, when I eat that, I get itchy on my thumb or whatever it is? And are there things that you're unsure about? And those are great things we can start doing for ourselves to recognize what's happening in our own body to just know. We end up seeing people in our clinic that have limited it down to like three foods that they can eat. And that's not how the body can do health repair.
Yeah.
Nutrition is about growth, metabolism, and repair. Three foods does not get us to growth, metabolism, and repair. And so it's really recognizing, where is it about the food and where is it about something else that I need help with that helps me to broaden my foods? Or where am I overriding what my body is telling me in favor of something else? And what is that something else? Because that something else also deserves to be honored. But is there a way we can get help honoring that something else and not overriding our body's messages? So,
Yeah.
three principles are where I'm going to say, go play, have some fun with it, see what comes up.
I love that. I think it's such a simple way to get started. I also think, like, even just making that list of having those yes, no, maybes, I think we so often don't listen to our bodies. We don't know how to listen to our bodies. And so, doing something as simple as that, I think, kind of forces you into that mindset to start paying attention to it and start figuring that out. I love
Yes.
that. Oh, so many great things, but we should probably start wrapping up. So I would love to hear just what a typical day looks like for you.
So for me, the bookends of the day are really, really critical. My day is full. Even though I'm an empty nester now, there is a lot to do in one day. I've got a team, I've got goals. And I'm also writing and working towards writing a book. So there's a lot to do. So the bookend of the day is really critical. And what I mean by that is start my day in a way that's just about me and not about the computer and all the other things demanding my attention. So I wake up, brush my teeth, do stretching, do some weight-bearing exercises. Listen to some news at that point. I still haven't turned on my computer. Feed the cat, take a shower, do a little meditation. I pull tarot cards every morning. I
Okay.
kind of give myself an intention for the day. It just is a way to sit. These are all short. And so you could probably tell, I'm a little like functional ADD. I like to move from thing to thing. So it's just kind of habit stacking. Nothing's more than 15 minutes. My meditation might be 5 minutes, right? So it's really that is for me. My boyfriend calls at 7 a.m. every morning. So then, like, I'm moving into get dressed, move into the day, make my breakfast. So bookending my day in the morning, and then bookending my day in the evening, a dance class or a walk, one or the other, and really coming down, unplugging from work as much as I can and the computer, reading, listening to a podcast, something that I really, or watching a show that really inspires me, nothing that gets me riled up, no conversations that get me riled up, no
Yeah.
shows that get me riled up. Keep it into the come down.
Yeah, I totally agree. I need to have like that mental shut off from all the things, or I just won't sleep. So it's essential.
Exactly.
Yep. So, what is one little thing that you do in your life to live well anyway?
Oh my God, there's so many little things. Right now I'm just gonna say, it's hard to pick one, One little thing I do, I'm like oscillating between like my green tea, my connection. I'm going to say my connection with my partner, with my boyfriend, just making sure that we have several times a day. We do not live together and we live about 40 minutes apart, so we don't see each other all the time. We've been together over 6 years, but
Oh, wow.
having that person that's like connection point there for me is a really critical part of the day and living well and being seen fully.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's really critical too. That's great. Okay, are you ready for my stock questions?
Yeah.
All right, candles or essential oil diffuser?
Candles.
Okay, cloth napkins or paper?
Loth.
All right, city or country?
Tough one. I'm gonna say country. But I can't do without the city. But country, I'm going to say country.
Okay, paper or digital?
Digital.
Okay. I thought you were going to go the other way
I
on that one.
know.
Yeah.
Look, I even have like, I get so, I'm such a
Oh, yeah.
writer, but like I get tired of how much paper I waste.
Yeah, that's true. And it just kind of ends up everywhere. Shopping, would you rather do it online or in the store?
In the store.
Okay. And it's whatever time you're making dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to a podcast or music?
Podcast.
And what would be one of the podcasts you would turn to?
I love serialized podcasts. I'm listening to a podcast right now called Hysterical, that it's about girls in 2011 who were diagnosed or not diagnosed. They were having symptoms that were undiagnosable. So what happened and how they were. I love like a long repeat serialized podcast
Okay.
that's several long where I'm interested in the characters. So story podcasts are way more appealing to me than like my industry.
Yeah. I
I'm
get
a
that.
story person
Yeah.
all the way.
Yeah. And when you want to check out, you don't want to be listening to stuff about like you're learning. I have to,
Hormones and
yeah, I have to
yeah.
decide like if I'm popping up a YouTube video or a podcast, like, am I in learning business mode or am I in like check out, relax, listen to pop culture news?
Yeah, I am
Yeah.
like an avid listener of podcasts. I'm totally an audio person and stories all the way.
I love that. Okay, chocolate, milk or dark?
Dark.
I would have been surprised if you would have said something different.
No
Okay, sports or no sports?
sports.
All
Dance,
right.
no sports.
Yeah. And what kind of dance? You keep talking about the dance. What kind of dance are you doing?
I've been doing a little hip hop, but my favorite class is kind of a mix between hip hop, funk, and burlesque. It's just
Okay.
super fun and funky. Yeah, it's really fun
That is
and
so
very
fun.
inclusive. So the
Yeah.
room is like full of people of all different shapes, sizes, ages, colors. Like it just makes me so happy to see
Yeah.
everybody moving.
That's so fun. My daughter's in a ballet intensive this week, and I have to go teach musical theater there tomorrow. But I'm still, she's like, what are you teaching? I'm like, I don't know yet. I'll figure it out later. But she's doing tap the other 2 days that they're not doing musical theater. And I grew up tapping. And as she's been like asking me questions, and I've just kind of been dabbling again. Just yesterday, I was thinking, like, do I need to find a tap class? Like, that is really fun. And I kind of know what I'm doing still after all these years. So.
It's so much fun. I used to dance ballet when I was a kid, and then
Okay.
as an adult, younger, I danced Afro-Brazilian,
Oh,
and
wow.
that's what I gave up, a long time ago. I mean, all
Yeah.
through my son's life, I didn't dance. But
Yeah.
finding my way back to a dance that's not as, regimented and
Yeah.
allows for a little bit of play, like
Yeah.
it is so fun getting back into it. Go for
Oh,
it.
that's so
Go
I
tap.
know. Yeah, I need to find an adult tap class.
Yes.
Okay, live broadcasting. Would you rather broadcast or watch?
Ooh, that's a good one, Mackenzie. My favorite answer to everything is it depends, and I don't
Yeah.
like it depends that one, but I think I'm going to just say watch.
Okay. What is your favorite movie?
Wow, these are hard.
I know.
I'm not great with movies or with music in terms of like naming it, But I'm going to say that a movie that really moved me that I've been thinking about a lot was the YA movie, The Fault Within Our Stars,
Oh,
because it
yeah.
made me like bawl. And I'm just thinking a lot lately about what moves us and what it means to be moved. So I can't say it's a favorite movie, but I'm going to call it up in this moment.
Okay, that is totally fair.
Long
All right.
answers. I'm sorry.
No,
I should
I
just
love
keep.
it. I love when people run with it. It's so much fun. Okay, and if you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum where zero is totally not crunchy and 10 is like singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair, where are you on the spectrum?
Different places and different parts of my life, but I'm gonna say 6.5.
Okay. All right. I thought it would be higher.
I know.
But also, I think it might be skewed.
You're right. I live in a bubble. I live in a Pacific Northwest bubble. If you put me elsewhere, I might be a 9.5. You're right.
Where are you in the Pacific Northwest?
I'm in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, okay. I'm in Spokane, Washington. So, yeah, pretty close.
So we live in bubbles where that crunchiness, I'm wearing like little heels and I dress every day. I'm not
But
a
I think
mannequin.
that's chic country or chic crunchy, not chic country.
I'll take that.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well,
Okay.
thank you so much for coming on today. And when you get that book written, you will have to come back on.
Thank you. It's in the
Absolutely.
works. It's going to take a bit, but yes,
Okay. They
thank you so
do.
much.
Thank you. All right, that is it for this week's episode. Thank you so much for coming back and joining me again. Like I said, there are lots of new things coming at the end of this year and into the new year, and I can't wait to share them with all of you. Until then, you can keep up with me on the newsletter at mackenziekappa.com/news. I've got lots of fun new things coming out there, and I try to pop in on Instagram as much as I can at mackenziekappa. All right, until next time, go be bold and gracious.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12 powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.